The Forgotten by Benny Allen, read by Robert Alexander.
Your name is Charlie Southwark, and today you're breaking rules. With you, a bunch of people sharing the same daily 30-minute bus ride to work. Bodies so intertwined you can sniff all day fresh rolling stick deodorant, and a whiff of cigarettes passengers puff before hopping on. One big smelly mess traveling 40 miles per hour, pollinating each other. Recommended distance interactions among acquaintances should be from 4 to 12 feet. Those are Proximix rules. Commuting to work every day, you break all Proximix rules. Those buses packed of commuters and armpits on your face are flushing away decades of studies. Recommended human-to-human interaction distance is just one of them. Keep that in mind next time someone tries to grope your ass on an overcrowded bus, pushing knees forward enough over the seat gap to feel the texture of your pants, the perkiness of your bum. That goes against Proximix rules too, so you know. There you are then, Charlie Southwark getting to work. That survival temporary job you got for a short while. The same job you've been stuck with for years. Your daily escapism. Those instant conversations with your co-workers, your daily social interaction. A girl in the office asks how your weekend went, pouring herself a cup of instant coffee. That must be Mary, or maybe Jenny. You can't even remember her name. You say, hey! At work, most people become simple, anonymous exclamations. And you begin the story of your weekend. Not exceeding your expectations, but something... But she parries you with a, sorry, gotta go. Those questions, pulled out from the book of perfect co-worker, nobody wants to answer to. That's the life in pills you're addicted to. Counting down the minutes to your next coffee break. Counting down the minutes to your lunch break. Then you're looking after your protein, carbs, fat balance. High cholesterol is right there waiting, hidden within a double cheeseburger dressed with your favorite double dipping sauce. Extra layers of fat on those used to fit denim jeans. After lunch, it's all downhill. Halfway through, days always seem easier to deal with. So do weeks, and months, and years. That goes for your whole life. Hit half of your goal, and then it's all muscle memory, body inertia, the motor of that zombie life you never ought to hit. Those great life dreams you had when you still knew how to dream. Time scoffs them all down. What's left after that is just Panda waiting for you at home, starving. Panda being your pet, your fluffy best friend cat. At home, the doorbell rings, followed by three mighty thud knocks at the door.
Charlie, rent time, you little runt, Mrs. Northcott is shouting behind the door.
You greet her with a weary spark of enthusiasm.
What a pleasant visit, Mrs. Northcott. Glad to see you in such a rather brilliant shape.
She stands by your doorstep. Those oversized ankles and blown-up feet choked in a striped sandal. That's how chickens must feel in supermarket aisles. wearing her usual flowered ankle-length dress, a floating giant pillowcase. Drenched in that fried onion smell you could sniff a few floors down. Looking at you, she's frowning, stretching her hand, palm up.
Thank you so much for another ecstatic month in this castle of happiness, Mrs. Nethercutt,
you say, and you hand her the rent.
Give me the money and shut up, you idiot!
In the evening, you find Panda by your feet, with a stinking, rotting presence. A dead mouse hanging off her mouth. She drops it on the carpet, meows at you. You say,
thanks, darling, but I already had supper.
Pets do that. That's loyalty and respect right there. Any sort of dead animal form by your feet, that's true love. You grab the mouse from his tail and toss it in the bin. Then there's that moment, that odd feeling that strikes you. The same feeling when you go for a piss and you see urine mixed with blood, mixed with what the hell? The same feeling when, at work, they hand it to you, a white envelope. Just the company's signature and address printed on the top right corner. You glance around. All your 9-to-5 family got one, too. A feeling of surprise, mixed with fear, mixed with, what the hell is this? Reversed Christmas. Santa Claus is giving off-season letters to each one of you. Santa Claus, being the head of department, choked by his slim blue tie, flapping on his spotless white shirt. Your childhood myths always get flipped around in your adulthood. You hold a moment from opening yours. All around, everybody's unwrapping.
Dear old blah blah. Communicating important infrastructure changes, blah blah. Office shutting down as it is, blah blah. Support each and every one of the employees working remotely, blah blah. Any other further questions you might have, blah blah, regards.
And kaboom! Take the clarion life routine you've been working on and flush it down the pan. What they're saying is that from now on, you'll be sent home and work from there. What they mean is that somebody you don't know screwed something up somewhere you've never been. At least you're not sacked. Packing up all the shit from your desk and walk. That's modern pilgrimage. This is your upside-down fairy tale. Read from end to start. You pack your own daily life desk treasures and toss them in a cardboard box, the dumping ground of your broken feelings. Barely half filled. That's how much your life weighs right now. In modern pilgrimage, you don't walk from home to biblical destination on 100 miles of cathartic walk. You haul yourself from your desk to the office elevator, holding your life in a box. With you, all your 9-to-5 friends line up waiting for the elevator to hit the floor. It takes a simple letter, and your perfect life's all spoiled. That's the white-collar office butterfly effect. Just, it's not damn rainy in New York, but it's deep shit hailing all over your life. But hey, you still have your shining place. Your cool, nice-smelling furniture. And Panda. Maybe you just get another pet, you think. Perhaps a dog. Probably another cat. That should fill the gaps. A few weeks in, working from home, you realize it is not as dreadful as you thought.
Your dining table is much bigger than your old office desk. All that sunlight coming in from the window. You might even get a sexy suntan. Or sneak out for a stroll. Nobody would notice anyway. That's your own little office world now. A win-win deal. Those little tiny impressions of yourself you used to do in the office, never good enough to be believable, those you were getting pretty good at. You won't need those anymore. At home, you stroke Panda with one hand and type on your laptop with the other. On your lap, the other cat you got. You named her Giraffe. All around, the smell of soap mixed with lime-scented deodorant become the smell of your place, which become the smell of your body, because your place smells like your furniture, and you just smell like your place. Salesmen know that. The way they try to help you find the right kitchen cupboard that meets your needs, couch and armchair combo that fits your personality. That is just mirroring your want-to-have life. The smell of freshly painted furniture. The way kids smell gasoline and feel addicted to it. Furniture does that to you. Furniture sellers know that. The scent of your furniture is the scent you'd like people to smell on you. What they have in mind when they think of you. Scent as in friendship. All of your miserable life pain softening sensations, your pills of instant pleasure you think you can't live without. Somewhere, somebody already thought how to make money out of that. Entire businesses running on your need to balance off your daily distress. When you buy furniture, you don't just buy furniture. You buy a better version of yourself, the yourself one day you'd like to be. That very self of yours, somebody, somewhere, is already trying to make money out of that too. So you know. A few months in and you find yourself no longer remembering how your previous working life was. The TV is always on, just to have some noise. And you get another cat, too. Panda and Giraffe seem to need one extra friend. This one you named Gorilla. You also leave the dining table and move on to the couch. There, you simply try not to let your laptop screen go on sleeping mode. That's how they know you're working. Your breathing gets heavier and heavier. You're getting fatter, too. The carbs-fat-protein balance you don't give a shit about anymore. Your belt you no longer wear. That colorful, childish pajama is so much more comfortable. Nobody's there to watch anyway. All around you, the stink of food boxes is piling up. Rubbish piling up on top of rubbish. One of these days, you must take it down the stairs. And the smell becoming the smell of your place, which becomes the smell of your body. And you just smell like your place. The doorbell rings. Somebody's yelling from outside. A stench of fried onions slips under the door. Must be Mrs. Nethercott.
Charlie, you son of a bitch, and I know you're in there.
You owe her the rent. You're a few weeks late. And you also forgot to pay last month. But you don't open the door. You just hold your breath. Sitting still on your couch, pulling that shag blanket up to your nose. Playing adult hide and seek. In your own little office world life. Nobody can reach you. That's a win-win deal. She yells,
I'll come back, you runt, and then I'll kick that doughy fat ass of yours.
And you've got that shiver over your back and an annoying tremble of your hands. Must be adrenaline. When she's gone, the only thing left is that sense of relief, mixed with tiny life victory, mixed with your cats that shit all over the carpet.
Oh, come on, kids,
you say to Panda, Giraffe, and Gorilla.
What did I get you that 3-arse letterbox for?
They give you a glimpse and sway their bums away somewhere in the kitchen. Cats always find a way out. A few more months and you're wearing only underpants. Nobody's there to watch anyway. The stink of dead, gifted mice, mixed with dry cat shit, mixed with your farts, become the smell of your place, which becomes the smell of your body. Your brain takes just a few hours to get used to any unbearable odor. After that, you can't smell it anymore. You just get used to it. So you know. The scent of those silent, smelly farts you let go. The couch leather starts smelling of those too. Your ass shapes the couch. The couch shaping your ass. House blinds have been shut for so long, you don't even remember how sunlight feels in your skin. Sunlight you can no longer bear. In the pitch dark of your house, the TV screen is the only feeble light. You don't even know when dusk comes anymore. A modern vampire life you didn't sign up for. Your work's laptop is somewhere on the carpet, shut, for you can't remember how long. Gorilla took a couple of shits on it too, bastard. Hopefully the company won't let you pay for it. Your breathing gets heavier and your head gets heavier too. Your neck bent over the couch headrest. There's a stain of mud growing on the ceiling. Your nostrils are pointing at the TV, still on. On the screen, the weather forecast says that it's a sunny, beautiful day outside. Grab your shorts and flip-flops and go for a stroll. Today the riverbanks are crowded, and don't forget your sunscreen, the woman on the screen saying with a smile. And you there, ignoring weather forecasts, ignoring the world outside. The doorbell rings. That fat ass is in there, a voice is saying to someone. The doorknob turns a couple of times. Somebody's trying to get in, but your keys are stuck in the front door from the inside. That's your in-house safety measure. You never know how skilled burglars can be. You can no longer remember how long you've been squatting on the couch, your cats licking your big, fatted fingers. Those choking metal rings are giving gangrene, too. But you don't even notice. The only thing you know is that you're feeling dizzy for a while. Nobody there to watch. Your hands are still trembling, but you can't move. You can picture yourself dying on your own ass-shaped couch. What an art picture. Still life. You should have shaved, just in case somebody would break in, snapping an artistic picture of you dying, squatting on your couch, wearing filthy underpants, staring at the ceiling. That'd be embarrassing. Cats meowing for food around you. There's four of them now. How the hell did you get another cat? You can't even remember. That's midday, or maybe midnight, and you haven't fed them for whatever, who knows. When you're busy dying in the dimness of your own living room, you don't have much time to feed your cats. An army of famished cats surrounding you. One meows.
and so does the second. And then all together, your private morning choir.
Are these fucking cats? Charlie, you pig! I told you no goddamn pets in the flat!
Mrs. Nethercott is yelling from the other side of the door.
You tried to say, "Good."
Those are apologies she won't get. Your tongue feels heavy. If you weren't feeling paralyzed on your couch, head stuck up staring at the ceiling, that could even be humorous. Your head stiff, bended, your eyes deadly wide open, and your cat's figuring there'll be no feeding time today. That is you asking Panda to open the door. You can't even remember if you ever taught her how to do it. You say, stupid cats are useless. They look at you, licking their arses. Worst time to look after the toilet. A thud comes from the front door. Someone is lunging full shoulder at it. You were not expecting any guests today. You wonder if there are some fresh cookies in the cupboard. You better get the kettle on. They'll appreciate a cup of tea. But you don't move. Squatting on your couch with an unfarted gas growing in your stomach. The TV's still on. An advert on how to get rid of those stiff spots on your couch. Spray the liquid bubbly product. Let it rest for a few minutes and then wipe it off. All for $80.99. Bargain. Remind yourself to get one of those, you think. One by one, Panda and her friends all walk away, marching over to the window.
Go get here, you say.
You're mumbo swearing. Cats always find a way out. Staring at a stain on the ceiling, you didn't even know you could die with your eyes wide open. Another thud at the front door. Now cracking. And you wondering if, with an unhinged door, they'll ever give your deposit back. Your cat's gone.
Home!
You say with your sleepy tongue. Assholes, you think. Next time, you should get a dog. Faithful German Shepherd. Or one of those Satchi's dogs that bends when you lift them up from the belly. Just adorable. Another thud, and the door is nearly cracked open. You think any dog breed will do. Cats no more. Because dogs are much more loyal than cats. Dogs wait for you to wake up. Also, when you're dead, they'll wait by your side forever. So you know.